Our lectionary lesson for the morning, this third Sunday after Epiphany, is Matthew 4, not 14. Sorry for the typo in the bulletin. It's the fourth chapter of Matthew. It's the traditional call of Jesus, of his first disciples. I invite you to follow along with me. It's on page 3 in the New Testament portion of your Bibles, if you would like to follow along as I read from verses 12 through 23 from the Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Here at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he starts recruiting his helpers, Jesus calls out to Peter and Andrew and says, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." He issues the same invitation to James and John. The author tells us, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. The immediate response on the part of these fishermen to Jesus' call makes it appear that their decision might come without much thought, as a spur-of-the-moment decision, or perhaps even as an emotional response. And we all know that decisions made in the heat of the moment are often ill-advised ones. The absence of detail makes the story even more vivid, makes the fisherman's decision even more obvious and pronounced. But surely we cannot and should not assume that these men followed Jesus on a whim. Scottish theologian William Barclay writes, "Jesus' summons was 'Follow me.' It is not to be thought that on this day he stood before them for the first time. No doubt they had stood in the crowd and listened. No doubt they had stayed to talk long after the rest of the crowd had drifted away. No doubt they had already felt the magic of his presence and the magnetism of his eyes." No, these fishermen didn't follow Jesus on a lark by making a hasty decision. But they did recognize in this invitation a moment of opportunity, the right time to make a major commitment. The immediacy of the call of Jesus has to do with its compelling nature, with God working through linear time to produce an opportune time, a moment of import, a kairos moment. And that leads us to what I'd really like to focus on for just a few brief moments this morning: time. There are two words in Greek for time: chronos and kairos. Chronos, as you may guess, is measured time, such as minutes, hours, days, months, years. Our word chronology comes from chronos, and to be honest, many of us are controlled by chronos, by our calendars. Kairos, on the other hand, refers to a special time, an appointed time. A time in which factors combine to produce an especially opportune time, such as a time designated by God. In the fullness of time, God entered the world as a human being. Yes, we know all about chronos time, do we not, and its steady beat. Seconds lead to minutes, to hours, to days, to weeks, to years, to decades. And the reality is the clock is always running the wrong way, and we simply cannot stop its steady and inevitable crawl toward the next tick. We lose moments to the past, out of our reach, never to be regained. Where did all the years go? The kids have grown and gone. We're muddling along in a career, making a living, often existing out of habit more than anything. Did I miss out on my chance to make a difference? We might ask ourselves. Yeah, we know all about chronos time. It's etched in the wrinkles on our faces, in the arthritis in our fingers, in the scars on our hearts. We usually think of time as chronos. In reality, however, the most important and beloved events and things in our world exist only in kairos time, only when the time is right. And though kairos time cannot be planned or mapped, it can't be put on a calendar, we wish it could be. Our plaintive questions show how desperately we want to control kairos time and force it into our chronos time world. When should I tell her that I love her? When does a boy become a man, a girl become a woman? When will God answer my prayers? These questions can't be asked, answered in chronos time. Chronos time is easily mapped. You can't put on a calendar, March 23rd, that's when I'm going to fall in love. It doesn't work that way, does it? The answers to questions such as these will not be put on any human schedule. Kairos can't be forced. When the writer of Ecclesiastes writes, "To everything there is a season and a time to every person under purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up," and so on. The word used in the Greek translation is kairos. This godly kairos pierced its way into creation at just the right time, slicing through chronos with the cry of a baby in a manger. John the Baptist said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." Kairos. Paul says in Romans, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Kairos. In 1985, a group of black South African theologians wrote a response to crackdowns by the apartheid government. It was called the Kairos Document. And it began, "The time has come, the moment of truth has arrived." The document was pervaded with a strong sense that the time was ripe for a change. The fate of South Africa balanced on a knife's edge, and small actions might have the power to change the path of history. Kairos. But kairos need not be as dramatic as that. It can be a small moment in one person's life that is ripe and full and perfect. A time when we lose track of chronos time and realize we have just experienced a holy moment. Kairos. It could happen at your dinner table with your family, and you look around and you realize that chronos time has just lapsed, and you think, "Wow, this is special." It may come when you're looking at your financial situation and it dawns on you, we've been living beyond our means, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And that moment ignites a change in lifestyle. Or alternately, it may come like a lightning bolt when you realize that you should be far more generous. That living generously is the key to a faithful and fruitful life. These are our kairos moments. And we should always live our days looking for those moments, those inexplicable times when the presence of God intersects with our daily walk. the appointed time, the special time, the time of opportunity, Kairos, is presented to Andrew and Peter, to James and John, and to their credit, they recognize it and seize it. An event taking place in Chronos has about it the feel of Kairos. Whatever the year or month or day or hour, wherever the place, whatever the circumstance, suddenly or slowly, noisily or quietly, God acts, and it is Kairos. These fishermen by the sea recognize it and leave their nets. Abram and Sarah recognize it and leave their home and their kinfolk to go to a land that God will show them. Moses recognizes it and confronts the Pharaoh with God's warning to let my people go. Mary and Joseph recognize it and become willing participants in God's kairos of welcoming the Christ child. We draw strength and inspiration from these and other models of courage and faith, men and women who have answered God's call to follow me. So I invite you to think often about kairos moments in your life, to look for them, to hope for them, to expect them, to embrace them, because those are the moments which bring meaning to the chronos time of our lives. This morning we ordain and install a group of men and women as deacons and ruling elders. Each of them received a phone call or a personal visit, and they were invited to serve. And each of them said yes. It was a kairos moment for them. Indeed, some of them had been asked before in previous years and had said no because the time was not right. But this time, when they were asked, kairos struck. And in a moment, they will stand before you and be ordained and installed. In the coming weeks, I invite you to be especially attuned to the momentous moments in your life. Rather than simply punching the clock when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and dialing in when you close your eyes and go to sleep at night, see if you can notice in those waking hours God piercing your reality. God inviting you to breathe in the pleasure of the moment. You can't plan it. You can't manufacture it. But if you're open to the possibility, it might just happen. That's kairos. That's following Jesus.